The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trygve Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served.
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through.
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job. I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988, then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
An RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said, sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
We think it has to do with changing levels of hormones. So it's not so much about just losing the hormones, but our ovaries are kind of sputtering as we're getting older. And sometimes they're just like, you know, here's a lot of estrogen. Now you get no estrogen.
Now I'm just going to have this vision of my ovaries yelling at each other.
Ethel! It's your Ethel, calm down.
What are you doing over there?
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The idea that they're going to basically take this once-in-a-lifetime surplus, they're going to just throw that money away as a giveaway to the wealthiest corporations and individuals.
One of the best jokes I heard last Christmas was, let your kids believe in Santa Claus. There's grown men out there who still believe in trickle-down economics.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. Charge the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, farmer, farmer, put away the DDT now. Give me spots on my apples, but leave me the birds and the bees. Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. Late last night, I heard the screen door slam, and a big yellow taxi took away my old man. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? We paid paradise, put up a parking lot. I said, don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? We paid paradise, put up a parking lot. We paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
Up a parking lot.
Yeah, there's a classic from Joni Mitchell. 8 minutes after 9 o'clock on a Monday morning. Stu Daniels here on the Stu Daniels Show. Thank you for tuning in. And if I asked my music fans in the audience, who do you think is the greatest female songwriter of the last 60 years? Could you say anybody else other than Joni Mitchell? You know, when we're talking about pop music and attempts and good attempts too at jazz fusion during the 70s. That song we just heard, Big Yellow Taxi, over 50 years old now, but obviously some references to what was going on with the environment at the time, when we were just starting to realize that people can have a big effect on our environment. And she kind of plays it off as, the big yellow taxi came by and took away my old man. You don't know what you got till it's gone. She was talking about our environment in most of that song, and then kind of made the analogy to losing her significant other. But there's big news for fans of Joni Mitchell, who's been out of the spotlight for quite a few years now because she's had some serious health issues. But for those of you who are big fans of Joni's, there's really good news. She returned to the stage on Saturday for the first time in over 20 years. And from all accounts, it was just an incredible show. I'll give you a little bit of the story from the New York Times. Joni Mitchell returns to the stage, golden, glorious, and in control. The singer-songwriter's first announced concert in more than 20 years was a nearly three-hour reimagining of her catalog that showcased her evolving rich voice and her ever-sharp wit. This is by Lindsay Zolads, who is a pop music critic for the Amplifier newsletter, which is part of the New York Times. And this story starts out with a quote from Joni saying, "You're stardust and golden." A beaming Joni Mitchell told a crowd of more than 20,000 people Saturday night at the scenic Washington venue, the Gorge Amphitheater, during her first ticketed live performance in more than 20 years. Joni Mitchell, now 79 years old, was quoting Woodstock, the song she'd written in 1969 in the heady days after the culture-shifting festival, but she was now describing a more modern concert phenomenon. A sea of lights from cell phones held aloft in the dark. Many performers have probably become jaded by the sight, but that is how long it had been since Mitchell played a proper gig. The image of cell phones illuminating an arena was to her unfamiliar and inspiring. She said, "You look like a fallen constellation," she told the crowd, ad-libbing some poetry. "It was but one miracle in a night spoiling with them." Last July, Mitchell stunned the music world when she made a surprise appearance at the Newport Folk Festival, her first public performance since a near-fatal brain aneurysm in 2015. That 13-song set at Newport had been called a Joni Jam, organized by the singer-songwriter Brandi Carlile, and meant to replicate the loose, wine-fueled sessions that Mitchell has hosted for other musicians in her California living room in recent years. Newport had been a show of resilience. Here was a woman who'd had to relearn how to speak, singing, but also one of intergenerational support. Quote, "She's doing something very, very brave right now for you guys," Carlile told the festival audience. Quote, "This is a trust fall." But Saturday night's performance, just a couple days ago at the Gorge, capping the second day of Carlisle's Echoes Through the Canyon Festival, was something else entirely. It was, for one thing, a jam band-worthy marathon, nearly 3 hours, 24 songs, including an encore during which Mitchell played electric guitar. Above all, though, it was a resurrection. After the first few songs, including rousing sing-along renditions of the song that we just heard, Big Yellow Taxi, and Raised on Robbery, a recognition seemed to ripple through the crowd that Mitchell's voice had grown even stronger, richer, and nimbler in the year since those Newport videos went viral. In that previous performance, the one from last summer at Newport, Carlisle had often guided Mitchell or taken on lead vocal duties herself. But at the Gorge Saturday night, Mitchell was once again in control. There was a renewed ease in her movement across melodies and a pearly purity in her tone. It was breathtaking. To hear Mitchell hit certain notes again in that inimitable voice was like glimpsing in the wild a magnificent bird long feared to have gone extinct. Concertgoers had traveled from all over. Mitchell shouted out factions from Japan, San Francisco, and even her hometown, Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, for the rare opportunity to see the singer-songwriter in concert. Some attendees wore homemade Mitchell shirts or jackets. Red berets embroidered with her name were among the merchandise for sale. Mitchell held court in pigtail braids, chic sunglasses, and a floral silk shirt that billowed in the canyon winds. As the sun set, the sky itself looked like one of her prismatic paintings. The Gorge stage was decorated to replicate the casual warmth of a hang in Mitchell's living room, couches, a few lamps, and the hostess sitting in a velvety chair flanked by disciples on either side. Part of any Joni Jam is not just singing with Mitchell, Carlisle told the crowd, but singing for her. And many of the talented musicians on stage were fortunately up to the task. They placed reverent covers like Handwritten Mash Notes at her feet. Mitchell's fellow Canadian Sarah McLachlan sat at the piano for a faithful and stirring reading of Blue. That's one of Joni's songs. Annie Lennox paid tribute with a haunting synth-driven rendition of Ladies of the Canyon. Wendy Melvoin and Lisa Coleman, longtime members of Prince's backing band, The Revolution, offered up the deep cut, A Strange Boy, from Mitchell's 1976 travelogue, Hegira. Melvoin said, one of the reasons that Prince hired Lisa and I was that we sounded like Joni. It was a vast, eclectic set list, not just the hits or the crowd pleasers, but impassioned reimaginings of material from across Mitchell's catalog, like the romantically tranquil title track from the 1991 album Night Ride Home, and the fiery social commentary of Sex Kills from 1994. A clear highlight was Amelia, a plangent, airy meditation on freedom and flight. Mitchell's vocals sounded especially muscular, and the musician and producer Blake Mills accompanied her with grace and agility on Mitchell's own guitar. Backing vocals from Lucius, percussion from Marcus Mumford, and guitar and vocals from Celise Henderson, who Mitchell admiringly called a Lady Jimi Hendrix, among other musicians, rounded out the set's lush sound. So, sounds like Joni Mitchell and about 20,000 people had a great time on Saturday night at the Gorge in Washington. I would have loved to have been there, but it's nice to hear that she's having a good time and played for 3 hours, putting on a great show. Let's play another song from Joni.
He was sitting in the lounge of the Empire Hotel. He was drinking for diversion. He was thinking for himself. A little money riding on the maple leaves. Along comes a lady in lacy sleeves. She says, let me sit down.
Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap.
Sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon with just a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm later this afternoon. Our high today, 78. The wind out of the northwest at around 10 to 20. Tonight, 53. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 82. By Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high of 87. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Funkadelic on a Monday morning. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sticking around. We're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show, discussing a number of different topics today. If you want to join in the conversation, feel free to call us. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And one thing I want to get to is how your attitude can affect what you experience in your life. And how important do you think gratitude is? Well, according to this article in the New York Times, gratitude really is good for you. Here's what the science shows. Giving, receiving, and even witnessing gratitude can improve your well-being, especially during difficult times. This is by Christina Karen in the New York Times. It says, in 2022, Stacey Batten said her whole year was on fire. Her husband died of cancer, and her father died after a long battle with Parkinson's disease. Her mother was diagnosed with cancer, and she moved across the country from Seattle to Fairfield County, Connecticut, after selling the home that she had lived in for 26 years. In her devastation, she noticed that she felt better when she looked for the good parts of each day. So she took a large mason jar and turned it into a gratitude jar which she now keeps on her nightstand. And every night she writes down a few things that she is grateful for on a scrap of paper and drops it inside. They are often as simple as, I met a new neighbor, or I took a walk with the dog and my mom. The grief is still there, Batten, 56 years old, said, but writing those daily notes has helped. Two decades ago, a landmark study led by the psychologist Robert A. Emmons sought to understand how people benefit from gratitude, a question that scientists had rarely explored until then. Dr. Emmons' findings, which suggested that gratitude may improve psychological well-being, inspired a spate of additional research. To date, numerous studies have found that having a grateful outlook, counting one's blessings, and expressing gratitude to others can have positive effects on our emotional health, as well as on interpersonal and romantic relationships. In addition, some studies, but not all, have shown that gratitude can benefit physical health. Gratitude heals, energizes, and changes lives, Dr. Emmons said. It is the prism through which we view life in terms of gifts, givers, goodness, and grace. Here's more about why gratitude is so powerful and how can we incorporate it into our daily lives. Gratitude is a positive emotion that can arise when you acknowledge that you have goodness in your life and that other people, or higher powers, if you believe in them, have helped you achieve that goodness. In other words, the sources of the good things lie at least partially outside the self, Dr. Emmons said. You might feel gratitude when someone is kind to you, for example, but feeling it is only half the equation, said Philip Watkins, a professor of psychology at Eastern Washington University and the author of Gratitude and the Good Life. Expressing gratitude is equally important to reap the benefits of this emotion, he said. Going to take a quick break. We'll get to back to more of this article in just a minute. You're tuned in to your local civic media radio station.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Former President Trump is headed to Miami today, where he's expected to plead not guilty at tomorrow's arraignment in the classified documents case. Florida's Republican Senator Marco Rubio tells CBS Mornings.
This will now put all of our institutions into tremendous crisis. The judge will be attacked. The process will be attacked. The Department of Justice will be attacked. The prosecutor will be attacked.
Ukraine's counteroffensive against Russia is officially underway. CBS's Deborah Pata reports.
We're kicking the enemy out, said the soldier. It is the warmest feeling there is. And close by in Neskuchne, troops proclaimed yet another victory for Ukraine.
Drivers in Philadelphia face up to months of delays and detours after a fiery tanker truck crash that triggered the collapse of a portion of I-95 through the city. Transportation Secretary Michael Carroll.
The challenges will be real when it comes to traffic movements in the city as a result of this incident.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Cuska. One person is dead and four people are hurt after a wrong-way driver crashed their vehicle head-on into another vehicle on I-94 near Menominee Sunday morning. The Wisconsin State Patrol said that the driver of the wrong-way vehicle, a 33-year-old man from Eau Claire, died in the crash. Four people in the vehicle he crashed into, including two children, were hurt in the crash and taken to the hospital. The Grant County Sheriff's Office said that an intoxicated driver is in custody after a fatal crash near Cassville on Thursday. A 33-year-old woman was arrested after rolling through a stop sign and crashing into a vehicle driven by a 52-year-old Cassville man. The man was thrown from his vehicle and died at the scene, the Sheriff's Office said. And the state high school baseball championships begin today in Grand Chute. Aquinas, St. Croix Falls, Ithaca, and McDonald all play tomorrow, with Altoona going on Wednesday in their respective semifinal games. In softball, Superior finished as the runner-up team in Division I. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
More than 7,000 truck accidents happen every year in Wisconsin. These accidents can be devastating, resulting in severe damage and trauma, often more severe than a regular car accident. Gingras Thompson & Wachs can help. They'll assist you not only with the driver of the semi, but also the trucking and insurance companies, making sure you receive the compensation you deserve.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising.
This incredible offer ends June 30th.
Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now. Now, the Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigby Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.
Family reggae.
So get yourself in the right position.
session on the dance floor. And let's get.
Getting somewhere, having a reggae family party on a Monday morning. It's 9:35 right now. If you're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show, and just before the break, we were discussing gratitude and how expressing gratitude benefits you in ways you may not even be aware of. And this is according to research. I was reading from an article in the New York Times where they've been doing the research on this. And it says, many studies have asked participants to write letters of thanks or to list the positive things in their lives and then measured the effects of those acts. The results suggest that performing these types of activities provides mental health benefits, reducing symptoms of depression and anxiety, increasing self-esteem, and improving satisfaction with daily life. But some studies have noted that gratitude interventions are not necessarily more effective than other kinds of activities to enhance well-being, like asking people to write about the details of their day. Even so, that doesn't make gratitude activities any less useful, the experts say. Multiple studies have shown that expressing gratitude to acquaintances, coworkers, friends, or romantic partners can offer a relationship boost and helps bind us more closely, said Sarah Algo, a psychologist at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, who has researched how gratitude aids relationship. What's more, when analyzing people's dispositions, researchers have found that those who are more prone to experience gratitude in their daily lives have lower levels of depression and sleep better. And not only does gratitude improve the well-being of the giver and the recipient, but it may also be good for those who witness it. Watching an act of gratitude between two people can cause an observer to feel more warmth and affinity toward them both. What impresses me are the objective, biologically verifiable outcomes that go beyond self-report measures, Dr. Emmons said. For example, gratitude has also been associated with lower blood pressure, and in one pilot study, higher levels of heart rate variability, a marker of well-being. Gratitude seems to be the gift that keeps on giving, Dr. Algo said. One moment a day is enough. The studies on gratitude don't indicate how often we ought to express gratitude or how best to put it into practice, but many experts believe that a small dose of gratitude once a day is ideal. Quote, I think the benefits of gratitude activities truly unfold through long-term habits, said Joel Wong, a professor of counseling psychology at Indiana University's School of Education, who is studying whether expressing gratitude in a 6-week group program can help people with depression. To develop an enduring gratitude habit, try linking your gratitude practice to an already ingrained routine, Dr. Wong said. He chooses to think about what he's grateful for in the morning. I try to do it when I first turn on the computer at work, he said. Gretchen Smeltzer, a psychologist in Philadelphia who regularly incorporates gratitude exercises into her work with clients, said it could be especially useful during difficult times. Earlier this year, she fell while hiking and broke both legs, leading her to use a wheelchair for 6 weeks. To avoid spiraling into negative thoughts while she continues to heal, she tells herself each day to be thankful for what you can do and not let yourself focus on what you can't do, she said. Gratitude allows us to look at what we do have and to feel abundance, she added. Finally, although many studies have shown the value of writing a letter expressing appreciation, it doesn't have to be lengthy or time-consuming. A quick email or text can do the trick. And be specific. Imagine that your partner is thanking you for cleaning up the kitchen after dinner. Which statement would you rather hear? Thank you? Or, I am grateful that you took the reins and handled all the kitchen duties tonight. I love how we take turns to give one another a break. Specificity matters because it deepens our experience of gratitude, Dr. Wong said. It intensifies our grateful emotions and thoughts. Dr. Wong has created a list of 100 questions that may serve as useful prompts when thinking about gratitude in a more specific way. Whether you're thanking someone else or listing the things in your life that you feel grateful for. When doing this exercise, Dr. Wong suggests putting pen to paper. The act of writing slows down our thinking process and allows us to ponder more deliberately, Dr. Wong said. He added, by writing, we retain a permanent record of our blessings. We can return to our gratitude journaling months or years later to recall what we were grateful for. Okay. So there's some interesting information. Be grateful every day and tell people when you are grateful. Let them know and be specific with what you're grateful for. They will appreciate it, of course. It'll make them feel better, but it will also make you feel better as well. 9:40 right now on this Monday morning, and I wanted to get to a story about what's going on in Russia. Funny thing happened. According to a headline on Yahoo from the New Voice of Ukraine, there was a hacker who got into Russian special service wallets and transferred the money in those Russian special service wallets to Ukraine. And it says here, the mysterious user seems to have been able to put blockchain and Bitcoin technologies to work against the Russian terrorist state. The hacker gained access to hundreds of crypto wallets that likely belong to Russian security agencies. Cryptocurrency industry news site CoinDesk clarified, citing Chain Analysis, a cryptocurrency monitoring company that works closely with the U.S. government. Chain Analysis analysts believe that the hacker used the transaction documentation feature of the Bitcoin blockchain to identify 986 wallets controlled by Russia's Foreign Military Intelligence Agency, the GRU, the Foreign Intelligence Service, the SVR, and the Federal Security Service, the FSB. The analysts did not say what feature they were referring to. At the same time, the hacker left messages in Russian to the owners of the wallets in which he stated that these wallets were used to pay for the services of hackers working for Russia. It is not known to what extent these accusations are true. Western analysts consider it indisputable that Russian intelligence services use hackers for numerous operations. Chain analysis experts could only partially confirm the hackers' claims. They indicate that at least three of the alleged Russian wallets were already linked to Russia by third parties. Two of them were supposedly involved in the SolarWinds attack, and the third paid for servers used in Russia's disinformation campaign in the 2016 U.S. elections. Chain analysis analysts assume that the hacker gained control of the wallets, which he claims were controlled by Russian special services, possibly through hacking, but maybe even thanks to inside work. To put it simply, this person could have infiltrated the structure of hackers working for Russia, or he could have been an employee of the Russian special services who later became a defector. The first hacks were carried out a few weeks before Russia's invasion of Ukraine last year, February of 2022. The hacker initially intended simply to destroy the funds stolen from the Russian intelligence agency wallets. According to Chain Analysis, the mysterious attacker invalidated around $300,000 worth of Bitcoins using the OP return function in the Bitcoin blockchain, a function that nullifies previous transactions. However, after Russia's war with Ukraine began, the hacker changed his mind. Since the first days of the war, the Ukrainian government has been using cryptocurrency to raise tens of millions of dollars for military and charitable needs. According to Chain Analysis, Some of the wallets involved in this investigation transferred funds to the Ukrainian government's wallets after the full-scale war broke out. That's interesting. Some of the money in the Russian wallets, 986 wallets altogether, were then transferred to the Ukrainian government's wallets after the hacker got in there. Simply put, the mysterious hacker stopped burning money and started sending it to help Ukraine. The fact that the OP return sender was both willing and able to burn hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of Bitcoin in order to spread their message makes it more likely, in our opinion, that their information is accurate. Interesting. It's like Robin Hood, right? Hacking into the wallets to help out the good guys. Interesting stuff. Got 9:45 right now. Going to take a break and be back soon. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising.
This incredible offer ends June 30th.
Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now. The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
I've been a tireless public servant for over a decade. Before that, worked nearly 6 years on Wall Street. I'm an economist, a lawyer, and somebody who cares deeply about whether or not what our politicians are doing make each of our lives better. Come tune into The Maggie Dawn Show, where those who know want to go.
The Maggie Dawn Show,
Mondays through Thursdays at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon with just a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm later this afternoon. Our high today, 78. The wind out of the northwest at around 10 to 20. Tonight, 53. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 82. By Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high of 87. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
To the Stu Daniels Show, our final segment this Monday morning. And we've been looking at a number of different topics today. If you want to join us on the phone, feel free. 715-388-7155 is the phone number. One thing I wanted to get to before we ran out of time, I wanted to ask you, how important is school safety? Should we be doing anything to make sure that our kids in school are as safe as can be? Well, evidently, some politicians in Wisconsin don't think it's important. They don't think it's important to spend money on safety for kids. And as far as they're concerned, it's every kid for himself when they're in school. And what am I talking about? Well, there's an article here in the Wisconsin Examiner by Eric Gunn talking about the budget in Wisconsin and how Democrats are targeting the budget committee's school safety cutback. Democratic lawmakers and Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call are criticizing the legislature's budget committee for rejecting new funds for the Office of School Safety. The vote by the Joint Finance Committee this past Thursday, June 8th, will gut the office, ending its ability to collect reports from around the state of threats to school safety, Call said last week after the Joint Finance Committee concluded its work for the week. A proposal to extend funding for the Office of School Safety was not included in the budget for the Department of Justice that the committee passed with only Republican votes. Quote, without prompt legislative action to remedy this issue, core services that that office has provided, including the 24/7 tip line that has received thousands of contacts, will end, Call said in a statement. He called the decision simply inexplicable considering the state's projected surplus of nearly $7 billion. So if we have a surplus of $7 billion, why wouldn't you want to continue the funding for the Office of School Safety? That's my question. Well, in addition to the DOJ budget provisions, the Joint Finance Committee passed Thursday covered the state's corrections and administration departments, as well as the Department of Safety and Professional Services. The Office of School Safety was established at the department under a law the legislature enacted in 2018, right after the Parkland shooting down in Florida. Since 2020, the office has had a round-the-clock system for schools to report threats and seek guidance on school safety matters. According to a Legislative Fiscal Bureau report, the office received 3,871 contacts between May of 2022 and May of 2023, most often about bullying incidents or suicide threats. The Office of School Safety's duties also include making school safety grants and advising on school safety plans. Schools and school districts are required to file school safety plans with the office. That office currently has a staff of 16. It received $1.8 million in American Rescue Plan Act pandemic relief funds to cover 12 of those positions. The money will run out by the end of 2023, according to the Fiscal Bureau. That will leave the school safety office with 3.8 positions, funded by $567,000 from the state's general fund, along with $307,000 in federal money. Evers' budget proposed adding $989,000 for seven additional positions, which JFC, the Joint Finance Committee Democrats, included in their budget proposal, incorporating all of the governor's items. After rejecting the Democratic proposal on a 4-11 vote, the committees, the Joint Finance Committee's Republican members, passed their version of the legislation by a vote of 11-4. The Republican version omitted the additional school safety office funds, which neither they nor Democrats mentioned during the meeting. The Republicans added $2.5 million that was not in the Democratic proposals for schools to make critical incident maps, if they haven't done so already. The Republican DOJ budget added $500,000 to the department's budget for an ongoing task force on internet crimes against children and for related help to local police departments. The Democrats had proposed twice as much for those items. The final budget also increased state crime lab funding by $123,600 for three positions, about 16% of the $750,000 the Democrats proposed. Quote, "Our actions support programs to improve school safety, prevent internet crimes against children, and help our state's forensic crime lab support law enforcement throughout the state," said JFC co-chairs Senator Howard Markline, Republican from Spring Green, and Representative Mark Bourne, Republican from Beaver Dam, in a statement their offices distributed 20 minutes after Thursday's meeting started and before the committee had even voted on the DOJ budget. Referring to the JFC's recent decision to budget $900,000 for a Brown Deer swimming pool project, Senator Kel DeRoys, Democrat from Madison, stated after the meeting, "Today, Republicans spent more on a swimming pool than the Office of School Safety. With the omission, quote, our children will be less safe tomorrow than they were yesterday," end quote, Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agar, Democrat from Madison, said in a statement Friday. She charged Republican lawmakers with prioritizing politics over people, this time at the expense of the safety and the lives of our children, teachers, and staff. I don't know. It seems like when you got a budget that has an extra $7 billion in it, you might find a little bit of money to keep the kids safe. 9:57 right now. Thanks for tuning in today, everybody. Run out of time. And I hope you keep listening to your local civic media radio station. Everybody have a great day. La, la, la. We'll be right back.
one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at sounditouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.